Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Who Almost Had a Dream Sunday debrief. I am not Lee Finch. He is ill, unfortunately, and cannot speak, but he is here doing the ones and twos, as they say. For those who don't know me, my name's Connor. I'm the AFC Wimbledon correspondent, shall we say, for London football scene. And yeah, taking over the hot seat this week. Plenty to talk about, as I said. Great win over Barrow. 2-0 victory on Saturday. Third place Barrow now down to fourth. The Dons are 1 point off the playoffs. As we head into a really busy stretch, was looking at the fixture list today. I think it's 10 games in the next four and a half weeks or so. So it's very important part of the season. And it was an important win on Saturday. Love to know all your thoughts. We'll get into that just in a second. When more people join, I'll let people hop on. If you do want to speak, I think you'd like raise your hand or something. As I said, not overly used to this space format, but yeah, if you want to hop on, just raise your hand and we'll hear your opinions on things. And obviously, Johnny Jackson signed a new contract in the week. He is here to stay, and I was sort of writing on this about my London football scene article that's going to come out either tonight or tomorrow, and just the turnaround in the last 10 months has been quite something. It was a very split fan base of whether Jackson should be staying at the end of last season, and now here we are, and I think we're all in agreement that certainly the fan base is united behind him as opposed to split on him at the end of last season. But yeah, anyone ready to speak, hop away. Just love to know your thoughts on Saturday's victory against Barrow. I see Jonathan in there. You're always a good person to go to, Jonathan. Evening, Jonathan.
Oh yeah. Hey Connor, thank you so much for hosting this today. And you know, while Lee and Danny are the spine of Womble's Had a Dream, it's all of us doing something and having our say and being a part of it that makes this pretty special. So thanks for stepping up and hosting today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Pleasure.
I mean, I think that we're all flying pretty high after yesterday. I mean, what a great showing of the team. I think they played just so well with a very convincing defeat of a high table team, and without Reeves, without Lewis, without Johnson, trying to figure out where the goals are going to come from, and we saw two places that they can come from. I'm thrilled that Ronan Curtis was able to start. I mean, I know that I think he's still weeks away from being able to give us a full 90. But if he can start and give us a strong 60, you know, for the next few weeks, maybe not. I mean, I don't think he can do Sunday, Tuesday, or Saturday, Tuesday for a while. But, if he can play 60, start and do 60 once a week, that is going to make it a lot easier for us to figure out where the goals are going to come from. One thing I just wanted to mention is I was really impressed with both of the goals, because I think both Ronan Curtis's goal and to a slightly lesser extent, Omar's, they were really well done because they were thought out. It took a lot of technical skill, but they were also very intelligent plays that, you know, that both of them had to, you know, put thought into exactly how they were going to convert, and they did it. And I think that's just a really good sign for us going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, I think it was an impressive performance in the sense that there's a lot of new faces in that team very quickly. There was a lot of sort of turnover of players near the end of the window, which I think was sort of unexpected. The sort of as January went along, I think there was like a growing confidence that Al Hammadi would stay until the summer, and then obviously the Ipswich offer comes in and it's hard to turn down. And the club are forced to act, and they've brought in reinforcements, and they've blooded straight away. Good clean sheet away to Bradford, and then a pretty solid performance again, and especially in defence yesterday. But like the thing is, I guess Ali's shoes are so big to fill. It's up to guys like Ronan Curtis and Omar especially to sort of replace the goals that are going to leave the team, because obviously Alamadi was the number one source of goals and he was the number one match winner. So it's sort of every guy in the team now especially just has to step up that little bit more, especially in this time when there's a few injuries and a couple of new signings sort of bedding in.
For sure. And I think that I don't think any one person's going to be able to fill Ali's shoes for sure. I think that we need, you know, Ronan Curtis and Omar Bugel, obviously they did the job yesterday, but Tilly's going to need to step up. John Kamani Gordon, I guess he was out from a hamstring, man. I hope that does not keep him out for very long, but he's got to be up there and doing things as well. And I think when Neufel gets healthy, he's got to step up as well. I think our midfielders are going to need to do more. Everybody's going to have to do more. But look, if we can be without Ali Alhamidi and without some of our better players and beat Barrow 2-0 and really give them not much to work with, I think that what that says is that the talent is there to get into the playoffs and to make a real shot at promotion. The talent is there. The issue is it going to be consistent every Saturday and the occasional Tuesdays to be able to do that for the, you know, the next, what do we got, 18 left or so? Is it going to be enough? Is it going to be consistent enough to do that? And I think it is. I hope it is. Hopefully JJ and Skiverton signing the new deals will give them a little more confidence to keep pushing and keep doing what they're doing, so that the kind of performances that we saw yesterday and what we saw against Mansfield are not flukes, but the effort and the results that we get on a regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought especially with so many sort of guys making their home debut yesterday, it actually slipped my mind that Jake Reeves wasn't starting. And I've seen Joe saying in the comments here, he's sort of brought Armani Little into my mind. I thought yesterday with the captain's armband on, he was absolutely fantastic. Obviously just such a good cross for Bugle's goal of the game, the second goal of the game. And I was thinking in the first 5-10 minutes, I think Barrow started a little bit stronger early on. Obviously not too much happened in opening 10-15 minutes or so, but I thought they started the better of the two teams. And I was thinking, I think Jake Reeves is going to be a big miss today. And then about at halftime, I was like, I forgot he was even out, because Armada Little really stepped up. And those are the sort of performances, I guess, that Jackson needs from maybe his B guys, if that sort of makes sense. Obviously, Reeves is obviously a star of the team. So, and then Little would be the second of the two midfielders. And it's across the board, especially at the back as well, with the sort of levels of depth back there, and it's sort of next man up mentality, and there's boots to fill, because there will be people unavailable throughout the season. And I just thought Armani Little was fantastic yesterday, and Joe's asking the question, who's more important, Jake Reeves or Armani Little? And that's such a difficult question, but I think, in my opinion, certainly yesterday I saw the sort of leadership from Armani Little that I didn't realize how vocal he was on the pitch. Obviously, Reeves is so vocal. He's the club captain for a reason, but I thought Little stepped up to the plate big time yesterday, especially sort of leading his team. He was very vocal with his teammates. And yeah, in terms of that, sort of who do people think is more important, Reeves or Little? I see. Sam, you want to speak? Let me see.
Can you hear me, guys?
Hi, Sam. How are you doing?
Hey, Connor. Hey, Jonathan. How are you going?
Oh, I think you're muted. Sorry, 1 second. Unmute. Hey, Sam. Try now.
Is that better? Can you hear me now?
There you go.
Hey, guys. All right. We get through. All that waiting, man, and my point will probably be rubbish. But yeah, I think it's a great question with Armani and Reeves, and I think Obviously, they were both kind of injured that same little period. And was it September or early October when they were both out for 3 or 4 weeks? It was kind of rotten luck to have them both out at the same time. But I think Amani, they're both so important. They're both different players as well. But the legs of Amani Little at the moment just add kind of a whole kind of new dimension to our game a lot of the time, and especially at home when we're on the ball more. I think he's probably up there for player of the season, actually, to be honest with you. It's going to be quite an interesting one, the player of the season. I think there's, for our first time in a long time, we'll have 4 or 5 kind of standout candidates for it. As I said, we've still got 3 months of the season to go, so for, I'd say probably Amani Little at the moment more important to what we're doing, I'd say.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. I'm not sure. I would sort of side just with Reeves, just because he wears the armband, and he's been through it all, sort of Mr. Wimbledon. I think Johnny Jackson made a good point after the game. He was saying in his interview that it was really important to build a team around like a Wimbledon DNA. Obviously, Little brings that, but Reeves is that. He's already played for the club, of course. So, yeah, it's an interesting question. What do other people think, Jonathan? Little or Reeves?
I think Little, Reeves, and Ball, all three of them are equally important. Because if we're going to make a real push for promotion or a push for the playoffs, whatever, that we need to have a strong midfield. And I think that those three guys, you know, no two of them can play 90 minutes twice a week. So we need three strong midfielder plays. And I think Little and Ball and Reeves are all very different players, but I think all three of them are equally important, and all three of them are going to need to play very well in the next dozen games or so that we have that solid midfield, solid back four, and then we can kind of sort out where the goals are going to come from. And that seems like the recipe to have a really, really strong side to me.
Go ahead, Sam.
One other point I was going to kind of come on and try to make today, looking at Barrow, I thought Barrow would be very, very difficult to, I thought they'd probably edge it against us. I thought they're coming into it with good form, good players, good squad, fair bit of money spent on it. But it got me thinking after the game on the way home, there's not been, aside from maybe Stockport County, and they weren't actually great against us, there's actually not many teams out there this season that have actually, you come away from a game with Wimbledon and they said, oh, they've actually really done well. They're actually a really good side. I just wonder if anyone agrees with that and everyone thinks there's kind of nothing to really be kind of scared of, really, when it comes to getting to top five. You look at, you go through results, Notts County, easily better than them this season so far. In that one game, Mansfield, wasn't impressed with them at home, certainly not away. And even the likes of Gillingham, when they beat us 1-0, probably didn't deserve to. Crew, average, I thought, at our place. Wrexham, okay, they were better in the away game than we were, but not too many teams out there that are giving me too much concern when it comes to the top seven. It's top seven, I wonder if anyone kind of shares that view, really.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Certainly, I think it's a league in which a lot of the teams are very sort of well matched. I think there's sort of like a, not like a sort of average line in which teams are around the playoffs, but I just think the margins between the teams in League Two this season is just very, very slim. So it's a lot of really just what happens on the day, I think, as opposed to teams just completely outclassing other teams sort of throughout the season. We've seen how tight the table is at this moment in time, and it's almost a certainty that the table will look a lot different come the end of the season. But yeah, in terms of, like, I'm trying to think of the games that I've been to the vast majority at Plough Lane in the season, and I can't really think of many teams that really came to Plough Lane and played the,
like, Accrington, the dominant football. For me, Accrington were that.
Yeah, certainly. I think that was one. That was
doesn't
one
bode night, well for I Tuesday, think. But
yeah, it was a weird one. It was like a Tuesday night, and Wimbledon just didn't show up that night. To be fair, Akron and Stanley were fantastic.
Yeah.
And obviously, the two teams play on Tuesday night, so we can sort of look forward to that.
Yeah. I thought they were, to be fair, as poor as we were that night, I thought Accrington in that first, was it 35 minutes, were unbelievable. They scored absolute beautiful goal, didn't they? But yeah, not many teams that I watch more of the home games than the away games, mainly. But not too many teams that have come. You know, the teams that have beaten us, obviously, what Sutton, who has beaten us, just going through the list here. And we were a lot better than Tranmere, obviously. Doncaster, I can't remember, that's 4-0 as well, isn't it? There's not been a single real team that Accrington aside that have come here, and I thought, do you know what, they're a really good side actually. Could have got nowhere near them today, which I think that bodes really well.
Yeah, it's certainly something that Jackson sort of said across a number of post-match interviews. He's been saying for months, longer than months, pretty much the whole time he's been at the club, that he wants to make a team that's hard to play against. And obviously the home form sort of tail end of last season was pretty poor. And he kept saying in pre-season, look, he wants to make sure that Wimbledon, obviously they have that Wimbledon DNA, but and that sort of DNA is being good defensively and being hard to play and being a team that teams don't want to play and they don't want to come to Plough Lane. And that's something that was not there last season at all. And I think this season it's really turning. I think Wimbledon really held their own against Ipswich in the FA Cup, for example, obviously defeated Coventry City in the League Cup, and the home form has been pretty good, and it's certainly getting better. But in terms of like the performance level at home, I think it's been consistently good, which is obviously encouraging signs for a team that really struggled with it last year. What do you think, Jonathan? Do you think that the sort of Plough Lane factor is becoming a real thing? And obviously, you always want to build a fortress at home, but is Plough Lane becoming that, or are we sort of getting ahead of ourselves?
Well, I think we are getting, no, I think it's definitely becoming a fortress. The thing that I think that we, you know, we're always two losses away from, you know, thinking that everything's gone straight to the crapper, and that you know, so football's a fickle game and we have to take one game at a time. But yes, having that, you know, what we did against Barrow has got to be the kind of thing that bolsters everyone, from the fans to the players, the coaching staff, that you have to play very well to beat us at Plough Lane. And yeah, that fortress thing definitely happens. And I think that will continue. But again, it's just one game at a time where we have to continue to do that. And even if we don't get the result that we want, are we still playing the kind of football that we want to play? And doing the things that we want to do. Harry in the comments brought up a question I'd just like to throw out here. Harry asked, can you discuss fans seemingly already writing off Josh Kelly? They're mental, aren't they? I haven't heard anybody writing off Josh Kelly.
No, I thought it was pretty positive.
What I'm hearing is that young guy, great work rate. He's going to get his opportunities and those goals are going to come. And I haven't heard anybody say, I mean, maybe I'm just running around with too many positive Dons fans, but I have heard only good things and I like what I see. I don't know what you guys think.
Jonathan, I think Eric, you're exactly right. I think that this is a classic example of someone's read one comment from someone on Twitter off the cuff or on Facebook and is classing that view as the view of Dons fans. I think it's a teenage thing. I think what happens, they kind of get it into their heads that one person's comment is reflective of an entire fan base. It's ridiculous. Josh Kelly was brilliant for parts of the game on Saturday. It was heartbreaking when he missed those chances, but so did Ali Hamadi. Missed two, I remember two, was it two clear-cut chances on his debut, and didn't score for about two or three games, I think I'm right in saying, which is a bit of a goal drought from his. I don't think anyone's ruling Josh, you know, no one is. I don't think I'm with you. I've not heard a single bad remark about him, really. Yeah, listen, he should have finished one of those. He'll be kicking himself, I'm sure, but I think he's going to. I love his aggression. I love his aggression. I love he's a tenacious player. And he's just, you listen, he was put through brilliantly by, I think it was, first of all, by Tilly, the first one. It might have been the spell, the second. He didn't, he created that space. He wasn't given that space. He created that space to make those two runs. And I think it's such a positive home debut. Would have loved to mark it with a goal.
To be fair, also, Barrow's keeper made two very good plays on Kelly's chances there. if Alex Bass had done that, we would have been talking about how awesome he was and how you know, it was great keeping that kept those chances at bay. So to be fair, I give some credit to Barrow's keeper. He did make two excellent plays on Kelly.
Talking about Alex Bass, how close is he to our best ever goalkeeper? Behind Ramsdale, maybe. But how close is he getting? Every single game, the guy's getting better. Every single game.
Yeah, certainly. I'll sort of give my opinion on Josh, and then we'll. I see Adams put his hand up to speak, so I'll throw it to him. But in terms of what I saw from Kelly yesterday, he just looks like a mini version of Ali Alhamadi. He's just like a couple of inches shorter, but similar work rate, electric pace, which I think very much the last 6 months or so, I think John Jackson's really found the DNA of his team, like how he wants to play. He wants a team that's going to fight hard, take the lead, and then be able to absolutely murder teams in the counter-attack. And that's how Ali did so well. There's not many centre-backs in League 2 that could catch him. So when teams are sort of chasing the game second half, that's when Wimbledon really feasted in the attack and fed Ali loads. And I think Kelly's going to get a lot of those chances as well. Like those two chances that he missed. I think it was good goalkeeping for both. He'll be disappointed not to get at least one of them. I thought the second one was actually a very good save. The first one sort of more good awareness for form and goal. But yeah, both chances were just so similar to Ali. And I think very much get that first goal in. And I think he could be a really serviceable player. Whether he's going to replace Ali's numbers and his impact on the team, it's a big ask. I would sort of manage expectations, but like you sort of look at the match ratings on the, like I use SofaScore for example, the app. I think it was like a 6.3 for Kelly, and obviously he missed two chances, but overall I thought he was pretty positive. What do you think, Adam? Obviously big shoes to fill with Ali.
I think the problem for Josh Elsey is he isn't Ali, so yeah, it's a huge hole to fill really, I think. And he's doing his best, but he's not Ali, so you know, should go over it, I guess. And this is good thing what he can do, which is pretty good. I thought he did pretty well. He ran about quite well. You know, he took the chance he got, he created himself, as John's already said. And you know, he created good chances, and you know, the keeper did really well to save both of them. So I think fair play to him. You know, he's not Ali, but he's a decent player. I mean, give him a chance. You know, give him a chance to see what he can do. I mean, I would say he's probably better than Davison. I mean, I'm not writing off Davison. I think Davison did a good job as well, but he's not Davison. But he's not Ali either. So he's a bit in between, I guess. So let's see how he goes. Really, I think.
I really agree with Adam, and I would just add in there that we got to remember that we signed Kelly for the long haul too. I mean, obviously we want him in there. He's in our starting 11 now, and we want him scoring goals now. But the fact that they signed him to a longer term deal means that the view is that he's going to be our striker of today, tomorrow, and into the future. So I think that giving him a lot of runway to show what he can do is really important. We had a comment from Curious Martin who said, "I think Kelly could be massive for us." I agree, Martin, totally. Kelly could be massive for us. And I think one of the things that's going to help him with that is that if all of the other, you know, because there was so much pressure on Ali to be the guy who scored, if we're getting goals from Curtis and Bugel and Tilly and Gordon, that's going to take a lot of the pressure off of Kelly. And I think it's going to let him really settle in very nicely and be the kind of striker that he can be and really be that for us for the long term. So, yeah, I think he could be massive for us.
Yeah, just add to that. I think defense played really well yesterday. On Saturday. I mean, I think previously in previous seasons we would have when he missed the first chance and Barrow came back. I think Barrow may have scored a couple of goals in previous seasons, but the defense held out, and then the goals the misses didn't matter. But I think defense got a lot of credit for that as well yesterday, certainly.
Yeah, absolutely. Seen a couple of guys putting their hands up, John and Sanj. Welcome. Sort of thoughts on the game yesterday, and then obviously Kelly's home debut as well. And yeah, obviously who is going to fill the boots of Alhamadi now he's left? Is it sort of like a combined effort, or very much does one player, is it more realistic that one player just sort of takes the reins and sort of keeps the attack going? I'll go to you, John, first. Hi, John, can you hear me? Not sure. I think you're on mute, John. Or if anyone wants to speak, seeing as we can't get John. Can you guys hear me okay? Just give me like a thumbs up if you can hear me okay.
Yes,
we can. Can you hear me? Yep, we can hear you.
Perfect, perfect. Go ahead, Sanj. What do you think of Kelly's debut, home debut?
I thought it was awesome, to be honest. You know, there's certain things you can teach, but having raw pace is one of those things. You know, you've either got it or you're not. He looked really good. He had the confidence to go through. It'd have been great for him to get a goal. But the thing is, at the minute, which I wasn't expecting, we're getting goals from other areas of the team. Curtis has now got two in two games at home. Bugle, I just think, is awesome. You know, I know we're talking about all different players of the year. I think he's got to be in the running for it. But I think Kelly will be really good. We shouldn't put too much pressure on him. You know, Ali was awesome. But like others have said, Ali would sometimes take four or five chances to get two. But we've got to get behind Kelly. But no one's mentioning Jack Curry. Jack Curry was unbelievable again. I can't remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, the last time I've seen him have a real, real shocker, especially at home. But I think, like Sam said a little bit earlier, Accrington are the best team I've seen all season. So it's going to be another big test on Tuesday. But I never really thought we'd do what we did to Barrow. And that just shows what we're capable of. 16 games in, if we can just get a little bit going a run, there's a chance. We could go either way, but I just thought there wasn't anyone really yesterday that had a bad game. I just thought it was a really good game across the board.
I'll tell you why no one ever talks about Jack Curry really anymore, because Jack Curry just delivers minimum 7 out of 10 every week. And he's like yesterday's news. It's like, it's not news anymore when Curry plays well, because he plays well almost every week. He's just fantastic. And yeah, certainly, we'll see how long he stays plough lane. Obviously, there'll be teams sort of higher up the divisions sniffing around in the summer. But I think he's a player certainly could do a really good job at a sort of lower championship club at this moment in time. And he's still very young, but he's very important to that team. Certainly, I thought in regards to Barrow, I have to say I wasn't too impressed with them. I thought they were just off on the day. And you could sort of see the frustration in the second half was getting the best of them with Proctor's red card. But still, yeah, important run coming up for Wimbledon. I was looking at the fixtures, 10 games pretty much in the next four and a half weeks, six of which are at home. So, I mean, it's a really important run starting on Tuesday. It'll make or break the season pretty much. And I mean, sort of, I'll preface this. I am not saying this. I'm not predicting this. But 8 points off automatic promotion. Is it possible, or is it very much outright? Hold your horses. Let's get to the sort of around the playoff race come end of the season, or do you guys think automatic promotion is within the possibilities of this team if everything clicks?
Can I come back in?
Absolutely, Sancho. Go ahead.
So I think, like I said before, I waffle on a lot on the Facebook, Twitter, whatever it's called. I don't think we should get too carried away because, like Jonathan said, we just need consistency. But the league is so tight. There's no reason, if we're banging them in and keeping them out, we're capable of doing anything. But it's very, very tight. Why not? At this moment in time, if the season finished now, I'll be over the moon. But I've not, you know... It's so, so tight. You know, we've got a chance. We've got as much chance as anyone. We've got to stay injury-free. And I think if we can keep winning at home, then we've got a chance of, I'd say, getting in the playoffs. I don't think automatics, but others might disagree.
Yeah, I think it's certainly things change quickly in League Two. There's a lot of sort of decent teams up there sniffing around the playoffs. And every team beats everyone. Really, there's you look at the Premier League and there's a lot more of like a clear hierarchy there, but in it feels like in League Two there's a lot of teams around the same level, so they're going to take points off each other all the time throughout the season, and there's still a long way to go, but the games are going to come thick and fast, certainly. And for the next month or so, that like six games at home, talking about that fortress again, it's going to be really important. And there's a lot of big games at home, including a home game, obviously 12:45 kickoff against the club that shall not be named. I think I would get in trouble if I mentioned their names potentially. Don't know about that, Lee, but yeah, big spell, and it's very much for those sort of new signings to step up. What are the sort of confidence levels like, Sam, Jonathan? Is it very much a case of let's just keep our head down and focus on the playoffs? I know sort of Johnny Jackson was saying, reflecting on his time so far, and he said to me, look, it's great with the new contract, but it's not a time to pat ourselves on the back. We haven't done anything yet. And he's very much focusing on the playoffs and that promotion push. Do you think automatics are out of the question, or is it, as I said, just focus on the playoffs?
Nothing's out of the question, but I think it's important to remember that while we are 8 points out of automatic, that means five teams. We would have to pass five teams to get there. And if you go the other direction, you know, while we are 8 points away from automatic, we are also only 8 points ahead of, 17th place in the table. So as I think Sanch had it totally right, it's just tight this year. And I don't know that you think anything other than get 3 points in the next game. I don't think anybody on that side needs to be thinking about, you know, is automatic promotion possible? I don't think anybody needs to be thinking about, you know, what are our chances of getting into the playoffs? I think every match has to be, how do we get 3 points in the next match? Are we putting, you know, are we putting our best 11 out there? Is everybody staying healthy? Are we happy with the tactic? Are we anticipating what our opponents are going to bring at us and the adjustments we need to make so that we can do another clean sheet and put our guys in position to score? My expectations are just the next game. I'm not thinking about automatic promotion or playoffs or anything. It's a strong team. Let's do that.
Yeah, it's very much said. That's the sort of the gist I got from Johnny speaking to him. Very much game by game. He knows it's a big stretch coming up, and obviously there are winnable games in there, especially at home. Just sort of looking at the comments, Ollie saying he thought Sasu was lively when he came on. He could be important on the stretch. He's very much, I feel like Sasu's a guy who could really benefit with a loan. We'll sort of see how the squad depth goes, but I'd imagine he's going to stay around till the end of the season. And yeah, you can see him getting better week by week. I think he's very much a guy, if he just went to a club for a few months, 6 months, say, played 20 games, he'd come back such a better footballer, so much more matured, and certainly the talent is there. It's just sort of molding that footballer. Dan said, has Lee Brown stepped up his game in the last few games? Yeah, I mean, as I said, busy stretch. The squad depth is going to be tested. Obviously, we can sort of talk about Kofi Balmer as well. New centre-back pairing there with the sort of youngster on loan from Palace, and then Lee Brown, the veteran. And I thought Brown was excellent yesterday. And I thought Kofi Balmer was excellent as well. I thought Barrow were a little toothless. As I said, they didn't create too many chances, but I guess that's credit to the defence for not letting them play their game in the final third. They had a lot of final third sort of possession and entry, but in terms of chances, they only had a handful. And obviously Alex Bass was fantastic once again. Sam, Jonathan, Sanch, what do you sort of think about Lee Brown, and obviously what squad, sort of the depth players in the squad, who do you think is going to be really important sort of going into this busy stretch?
Lee Brown has played better lately. I still think he's like our fifth or sixth best option at center back. I mean, I still think that obviously Lewis and Johnson and Balmer, I still think Pierce is a better, if he's fit, I think Pierce is a better center back. But I'll give him credit. He has stepped up his game. I still don't like how much he fades to the left when he's playing center back, because I think he's such a left back at heart that he kind of fades that way a little more. And that makes me very nervous sometimes. But, you know, our back, we got a clean sheet. He must have been doing something right. And I haven't been a big Lee Brown fan, but I do have to give him credit for it. But in terms of squad depth, I mean, you know, I I think all of the, everybody's got to be ready, and they've got to be ready to come on and put in a good shift and impact the game for the good. Harry Pell needs to do that more than he's been doing it in the past. Sasu, as somebody mentioned, I think he showed a lot in his little bit of time. McLean, I still want to see him get some minutes because he can really do a lot of things in the last 10 or 15 minutes, and we need to give him that opportunity as well. I don't know that, you know, if we're going to make this, it's going to be a total team effort where a lot of different people are stepping up and doing a lot of good things, whether it's a starter or someone who's only coming in off the for the last 10, 15, maybe 20. And I think that's what's going to have to happen. And yeah, I'm glad Lee Brown had a couple better games where he looked better, but hopefully we don't need to rely upon that. And hopefully our other center back options will get healthy and step up as well.
Do you think Ballmer, obviously coming in yesterday, the long throw, Jackson was raving about the long throw after the game. It's quite something to, especially for those who are obviously in the ground. Maybe it's easier to see than if it's on TV, but that is an absolute missile of a long throw. And obviously you think back to the guys who are really good at long throws, sort of Roy Delap, etc. I don't remember any of those long throws being so strong and so, like, they're like it's like an arrow. It doesn't loop at all. It's like a quarterback in the NFL. Well,
it's like a cannon, really, isn't it? It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a cannon of a throw. It's ridiculous. It's crazy.
Yeah, and obviously, for those maybe can guess the accent, I'm from Belfast, Northern Ireland. So Kofi came through the Northern Irish Premiership. And I remember he had a long throw where I saw him come through at Ballymena, and then he was at Larne before he went to Crystal Palace. And he always had a long throw, but now it's more than a long throw. It's a proper missile. Obviously, I think he was a rugby guy when he was playing in school. So that's sort of where he learned to put the spin on it. But do we think Kofi is a real sort of threat to either Johnson or Lewis in the sort of the best team if everyone's fit, or is it very much a squad depth option for Ballmer? Obviously, I think he's out of contract at Palace in the summer, so he could well be playing for a contract at this moment in time with Wimbledon or elsewhere. What are sort of the thoughts on him after his home debut?
I think he's probably out of our league, unfortunately, in terms of pricing, but he's certainly a very good option. I would say youngster, good throw, you know, good awareness of the ball, able to hammer the ball out if he needs to. You know, I think that's what we need to think. I think sometimes the players play a bit too much in the defence rather than just hammering the ball clear and just clearing the lines, old-fashioned sort of Rose Ed kind of thing. You need that sometimes as well. So just a bit of experience. And he's using the young shoulder. I think he's a very good player personally. I think he's excellent. I'd love to have him, but just can't see it somehow. But
I think that it would, Lewis and Johnson are still weeks away, and so I don't care. I don't even want to think about it. Let's just have Kofi Ballmer in there, play great center back, you know, load up that cannon for long throws and enjoy it, and worry about, you know, whether there's a selection headache when Lewis and Johnson are fit. But that's so far away, and we have so many important games between now and then. I'm not even thinking about it.
Go ahead, Sanj.
I think the beauty of Ballmer is that, although it didn't happen yesterday, normally if Pearce or Brown are in the back four, especially at centre-back, we have to drop about 5 yards deeper. We didn't seem, from what I saw, have to do that yesterday. So he's definitely one to watch. I think, as Adam said, I don't think we're about to afford him. But at this minute, while we're waiting for Lewis and Johnson to come back, he's a really good option. He had a really good game. But some of the older fans, it's like watching Vinnie Jones from years ago. It's like having a set piece when he gets a throw in. It gives you another option. And even if we don't get on the end of the ball when it comes in, it's the havoc it creates. We can get the second ball. So I thought he was really good. And as others have said, whilst they're regaining their fitness, he looked really good. I thought Ball looked really good in midfield. People haven't mentioned him or haven't heard it. We're going to need everyone, and we need everyone to be able to play. The issue is where some of them haven't played enough or been in the team regularly. It's whether they've got that on the match day every week, but at the minute it looks really good.
Yeah, absolutely. And then in terms of sort of selection headaches, obviously they're a good thing for the manager to have. And who put the question in? Tom's put the question in. Yeah, I actually wrote this down earlier because I was thinking about it after the game. I think there's a lot of players in this Wimbledon team, just my opinion, that sort of go under the radar in terms of they've been really solid the majority of the season, if not all the season. And I think Isaac Ogundeyer is one of those guys. When Byler's been out, Ogundeyer stepped up and he's like a 7 out of 10, 6 out of 10 every week. There's obviously still a young player, still the odd mistake in him, but I think the majority of it has really, really been positive and he's really taken a step forward compared to what he was last season. Obviously, a year of League Two football really is shaping him into a much, like a very serviceable player for the squad and an important player, especially in the rotation. Should it be just rotation for Ogundeyer in terms of, say, you're in a playoff final and everyone's fit? Who are you starting at right back? Is it Ogundeyer or Byler? Obviously, Byler a lot better going forward, but potentially that Ogundeyer is potentially the better defensive sort of option, maybe a bit more solid at the back, a bit more disciplined. What do you guys think? I'll go to you, Jonathan.
I think that Ogundeyer is much more consistent, and he's better defensively. And Biller's better. He's kind of a wild card, and you know he does kind of he maybe plays a little bit above and beyond himself sometime. I think the real issue on who you in this, you know, if everyone's fit and it's a playoff game, who do you start? I think that depends on two things. First of all, the matchup. Who are we up against, and do we need a more consistent defensive-minded right back, or do we need to have a little more explosion on the right side? The other thing is, and this is something that none of us will ever know, is how's he doing in training that week? Because Biller's just been really inconsistent. And if JJ is seeing something from him in training during the week that says, this is not a good week for him, let's not put him in there, that is the other thing that I think. I don't think it's an easy call which one you play. But I think that it's nice to at least have a position where you have two different kinds of players and maybe can mix and match, especially when we're coming up with this, you know, two games a week for a few weeks here that we can mix and match them depending on who we're playing.
Yeah, I'd agree with you, Jonathan, and especially if you put Ogundeyer in for the sort of defensive side of things, if you're chasing a goal in the last 20 minutes, Haas is a really good option to bring off the bench. Obviously, brings a lot more sort of directness off that right side in terms of the attack. But yeah, it's a good, obviously a good problem to have. Adam, thoughts? Sort of Ogundeyer.
I think probably Johnny Jackson is the crucial point in this argument. Really, has he got the experience to be able to make the changes when he needs to in games? I think that's my one factor I'm a bit concerned about. Really. Yeah, obviously, John Coleman at Accrington has got 50 years of experience, more than JJ. So we have to see on Tuesday night, I think. But I would say JJ is a crucial point in this playoff push or not playoff push, really.
Yeah, certainly. And that, I guess that sort of brings us on to it. We're 43 minutes in and all we've talked about is the players. I've completely forgot about the contract he signed during the week. Sort of, what are our thoughts on that? Are people happy with it? I think personally, it was a perfect time to do it. Obviously, it's getting near the end of the season. His contract was up at the end of the season, and I think the sort of uncertainty around not having a contract signed, especially going into this really busy stretch, I think it's a no-brainer for the club personally, and I think I think credit to him in the terms of I'm sort of writing an article for London Football Scene at this time, and it's sort of talking about what's next for this team. But I think it's worth reflecting on the fact that how sort of bad the team was last season, and Jackson would admit it, the team was nowhere near what it should have been, and they've done a terrific job, the entire sort of football operation side of things, sort of rebuilding the team. It feels like it certainly feels such a different team to last year, and for the better. But end of last season, there was the Swindon game at home. It was 5-1, and very much people were calling for a change of manager. And here we are, sort of 10 months later, and it's a new deal, and it feels like everyone's happy with it. Sort of Jonathan, Sanch, Adam, and of course anyone else, if you want to speak, just press the request button. And Lee's doing the ones and twos, so he can let you speak. But Sanch, thoughts on Johnny's new deal, and you happy with it?
I personally was. I know I've had a debate with a few on here saying it's too early or too soon, but we're all very fickle. Like last year, we were awful from January. So the pressure when he's come back in was Skiverton, the other backroom staff. I think we've had a really good season. I know it's not all on him, Craig Cope, Andy Thorne, but we need stability. We've gone through managers left, right and centre. You bring a new manager in, they change the system, they've got different players. I think he's done as well as he can so far. So I think it's a real statement of intent. And for me, I'm really happy.
Yeah, I mean, I think he can only improve, can't he? I mean, I think that's what I would say. You know, he's getting better off season by season. You know, and the more experience he gets, the better he is. So I think give him absolutely. I mean, I'm fine with him, I think. I'm a bit concerned about the substitutions, but that's the only issue I've got with him, really. The substitutions are too late, in my opinion. But
in defence of the sort of the substitution side of things, he's definitely said in the past that it's difficult for managers now in terms of, because there's sometimes 10 minutes of added time, certainly with the timing of the substitutions, it's difficult to get them right. Maybe in the past when it's more likely to have 3 or 4 minutes of added time, you would make the subs maybe on the hour mark or 65-minute mark, but you could have...
Yeah, I would say on the substitute issue, I think there was the game when we were 5-0 up against Cheltenham. He didn't bring any substitutes on until like the 94th minute. He put that young player on for 3 minutes. We're 5-0 up against Cheltenham, for goodness sake. And then we were 5-0 up against somebody else, and he only brought on, again, substitutes in the like, last minute. It was crazy. We're 5-0 up, for goodness sake. You know, we should be able to bring substitutes on when we score the fifth goal. Why do we need to wait until the 85th minute or whatever? It's just... I didn't understand that at all myself in those games, but
go ahead, John.
I'm happy that JJ signed a contract. I am happy about that. I will say though that it is amazing how much Craig Cope has made Johnny Jackson a better manager. I mean, I think I think Craig Cope deserves more credit for our form this year than Johnny Jackson does. That said, I think going into this, the last part of this year where we could make a push for playoffs, you know, where we got some young players that we know are going to be back next year, and we have a lot of people who are going to be coming off the books wages-wise this summer, and to have the consistency of knowing that next year we're going to have JJ and Skiverton running things and Cope will be there to be adding to the squad, I think that is really, really strong, and I am happy about it. I think we can definitely criticize some of the things that JJ's done. I think he's getting better about making substitutions as time goes on. But you know, it is League Two football, and you know, so I think he is a good manager, and I think that he can continue to grow, and I'm glad he's going to do it with us.
Yeah, certainly no brainer, and obviously, as I was saying before, stability is something you need this time of the season, especially going into the sort of the tail end, the business end of the season, and just having the sort of project reaffirmed and reconfirmed is a good thing for the team, the stability of it. And I think it's been interesting to watch the sort of tactical development of the team. I think last season it was very much a team that were sort of relying on individual brilliance, especially from Asal and then obviously Ali afterwards. But the team this season, I was watching a few games in preseason. They were playing the more 4-4-2 style formation. It was very direct. I would go as far to say hoofball, but obviously it was preseason. And then I think at the start of the season, I'm pretty sure at the start of the season, it was like a 4-4-2, but now it feels like more of a, it's weird. It's when Wimbledon have the ball, it's like a 4-2-4, and the strikers and the wingers are just all along the defensive line, just pushing the team as much as possible, and they're trying to sort of catch them over the counterattack and play wide. And the sort of tactical development I think we've seen from Jackson, especially in the last few months, I think he's just clicked with the team. He knows exactly what he has, who he has, who he can rely on, and sort of built the team around that. And he was saying to me on Saturday about building a team with sort of Wimbledon DNA, and that's a team that's hard to beat. I think at this moment in time, the team is difficult to beat. It's Plough Lane's not a nice place to come. It's always a very physical game, especially and typically Wimbledon have been pretty clinical, especially in the counter attack, and have caused teams problems. So in terms of the, I think he's done a good job with the DNA. I think the contract is just a no-brainer at this moment in time. And I think he's done well to, and he's deserved it. It's a hell of a turnaround from where the team were at the end of last season. There was a lot of negativity, and rightly so. And now I posed the question 20 minutes ago, is automatic promotion a possibility? And I think if you offered that to most Wimbledon fans at the start of the season, they would have, in fact, all Wimbledon fans, think they would have bitten your hand off. If anyone else wants to sort of give their opinions on JJ's contract, let me know. Just press the request button. Yeah, and then obviously Accrington Stanley Tuesday night, big game. I was talking to, I'm not sure if he's listening, but George, who works at the club. I was thinking towards the MKD game, obviously at the start of March, that feels like that could be a humongous, I mean, it's already a humongous game, but it feels like both teams could be very close to each other in the table. It's such a critical part of the season. That could be quite an occasion. I'm sure that not a lot of fans will look forward to that in terms of the occasion itself, but there is a possibility. And I was saying to George, I was thinking, look, playoffs, would you rather have the team that shall not be named over two legs or one leg? And I think George said if they were in the final against said team, I don't think his heart could take it. And yeah, I can sort of, obviously I don't support Wimbledon. I just sort of report on them and have a bit of soft spot. So I think my heart would still be racing on that day, just knowing what's on the line. I'll sort of dive into the comments. I haven't looked at those in a couple of minutes. If anyone else has any sort of talking points, we'll go on for another 10 minutes or so. We'll wrap it up at 9. Please do press the microphone button, the request button. I was obviously speaking to Jackson. I'll throw this to you, Jonathan. In terms of what's next for the team, he was very much saying, look, playoffs are the aim, promotion is the aim, they want to get out of the league. He's not afraid to say it anymore. Like, how important is it to have that mentality? Do you think it's a good thing for the team to sort of say that that's the aim and that's what we're aiming for, or should it be sort of cool heads, take it one game at a time, and if you're in the mix at the end of the season, you're in the mix?
Well, I think it's got to be the right balance of both. And, you know, I don't, for anyone who isn't in the dressing room, it's really difficult for us to know where that balance needs to be with this group. And you got to have to trust JJ to do that. But I mean, you do want your manager saying that publicly, that, you know, we're going to push up, but you also have to, I think, really need to be focused on one game at a time and find that right balance. One other thing I think is worth noting out there is that, you know, the other thing that would go along with promotion or even making a really strong run at promotion is if we want to keep a Little, if we want to keep Little, if we want to, you know, if I don't think we have much of a chance of keeping Ronan Curtis, but hey, if we got promoted, maybe he would stay with us, you know? I mean, because I think that a lot of people definitely see him as a quality League One player. Maybe a championship team would be interested in him, but you know, I think that that's the other good thing about promotion and or at least making a really good run at it is it's going to help us recruit and get better players in the summer window if we do that. So, yeah, I hope JJ finds the right balance of making sure that everyone is focused on the next 90 minutes that are ahead of them, but also understand that the expectation of this club that the team and the fans have is that we get promoted.
How important do you think Curtis is going to be in the running, Johnson? And obviously anyone else who wants to speak. I think it's an unbelievable coup for the player of that description. Obviously, one of the best players in League One a couple of seasons ago before the ACL injury. Excuse me. And he's just sort of fallen on the lap of Wimbledon. Obviously, it's very much a rental, 6 months, and then it's out in the summer. And I imagine he'll go up the league one way or another, whether it's with Wimbledon or whoever else. It could be lower championship level, depending on the performances at the end of the season. Do you think he's very much the sort of the main guy to carry the weight that's left with Al Hamadi, or is it another guy? And in terms of the sort of the signings of the season, how important do you think Curtis is going to be?
I think it's got to be a group effort, but I think that what you saw him do yesterday and the goal he had against Mansfield, you see a higher level football coming from him than we have from almost anybody else in our attack. So yeah, he's going to be huge. I think it was a great coup to get him. I think that he could have gone almost anywhere, because really what he's looking for is, you know, 6 months to show that he's healthy before his next contract. And he could have done that almost anywhere. But the fact that he did it with us, I think it speaks volumes to everything about the team and the coaching staff and the organization. And I hope, hey, let's get promoted and keep him. Wouldn't that be grand?
Imagine telling someone that back in September, that you have the chance to go up with Rowan Curtis on your team and he could potentially stay for next season. It's certainly, I think it's unlikely, but you never know. Certainly he seems to really gel with the group. Obviously I believe he's been training for a few months now with the squad and sort of going to matches even before he signed. So it certainly feels like he's gelled well. Adam, what's your thoughts on Curtis?
As Jonathan said, the crucial point about the two goals he scored was they're very different, but there was no panic in his. He was quality strikes, quality finishes. He knew where the goal is, and you know there was no panic about him. I think it's just an absolutely professional striking display, I would say, you know. And he found the goal both times, you know, absolutely superb strikes. He could easily have panicked and skewed him wide or just hit the goalkeeper or something like that. But he took his time, took control of the ball and then scored. And it's like absolutely superb. Couldn't be higher of him. He's absolutely superb. Great, great, great performance, great goals.
Yeah, it's certainly a boost for Jackson. Obviously, a couple of guys playing on the wing. And there's a lot of depth out there. Obviously, McLean back from loan. Sasu's shown glimpses of potential, certainly. And Newfield obviously hasn't, I think, maybe sort of, I wouldn't say disappointing, but certainly of the summer signings in comparison to how good some of the other signings have been, Newfield would sort of be down the list a bit in comparison to them. Obviously, has had those injury problems, but once he comes back, obviously an option off the bench, an option for rotation, and potentially could even sort of win his starting position back that he had at the start of the season. But yeah, a player of Ronan Curtis in League Two, I think, is silly in a good way. Only a couple of minutes left here. If anyone has anything else to sort of wrap up with, sort of raise your hand or press that request button. Sanch, sort of, if you're still there and you can hear me okay, Ronan Curtis, how important do you think he's going to be sort of going into this busy stretch? Jonathan was rightly sort of saying earlier that he's very much, you want to be careful with his workload after the ACL injury, but so maybe he won't be starting. I would be surprised to see him start Tuesday, for example, but how important do you think he's going to be done stretch, and could he become the most important player on the team?
He's absolute quality, okay, but I think he's maybe got 40, 50 minutes in him max, maybe less than that, you know, after a Saturday, Tuesday. But I think the key is, like you said, Jonathan, is how we manage him, because we don't want him breaking down and we don't want to overload him. But we've also got Gordon. We haven't spoken about Flash Gordon from Palace. He looked amazing the game I saw him at home. I know he's got a tight hamstring, but Curtis is going to be really important. I think Kelly's going to come good. We've just got so many options, so it's really positive. We've just got to keep going one game at a time. But Curtis, to me, he's in the shop window. If we can get everything out of him for the next 16 games, who knows whether he stays with us if we go up. Or if not, it'll be absolutely amazing to see what he can do for the club.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly, it feels like the team's sort of clicking at the right time. And there's important injuries out as well. Both centre-backs, Reeves at this moment in time, they'll be sort of in a rush to get back for the busy stretch. I know certainly there's a couple of muscle injuries in there, so Jackson has to be wary with the sort of injuries. And obviously with Curtis as well. And I believe Gordon's injury is a hamstring as well, tight hamstring. So that's another one that you just got to be careful with. But certainly the squad depth's going to be going to be tested down the stretch, but I think potentially in Jackson's entire sort of tenure at the club, it feels like this is the deepest the squad has been. And if they can get healthy down the stretch, it's going to be a big boost to the team as they sort of chase the playoffs. What are confidence levels like then, guys, in terms of going into this stretch? Sort of, it really does feel like the tail end of the season now, that we're about to get into. Confidence levels high of playoffs, or are people still sort of skeptical considering how many teams are around Wimbledon and the quality of those teams?
I think it could go either way. I mean, I think we've got the talent to do it, but it's still football and strange things can happen. And, you know, we could have a bad run of form or we'd have a couple of injuries. I've been following Wimbledon for about 5 years, and this is obviously the most excited I've ever been. I mean, it's a low bar considering how bad we were for most of the last 5 years. But I mean, I'm excited. I don't know that I'd say confidence, because I know that, you know, there's a lot of other football teams out there that are doing their darndest to win every game too. But I like what we've got, and I'm enjoying it more than I ever have, and that's the way I'm looking at it.
And that's the most important thing, Jonathan, to enjoy the ride. And I think what's forgotten in football a lot is that I think people fixate a lot maybe on trophies, and they don't sort of enjoy the experience and the roller coaster. Obviously, more times than not, it's a sad ending to whatever season of any club, because not every team gets promoted, not every team wins the trophy at the end of the season. And obviously to sort of make a Super Bowl reference on Super Bowl Sunday, I think like there's a bunch of teams, Jonathan, right, that haven't won that have never won the Super Bowl. But Detroit, for example, they lost in the semifinal, for people that don't know, but obviously they didn't make it, but their fans have a memory forever now of this playoff run. So, oh, remember that time we almost beat the 49ers to get to the Super Bowl? And obviously there's disappointment at not getting there, but you got to enjoy the ride. That's why people are football fans, and it just makes those sweet times just that little bit sweeter, considering that they don't happen too often. Adam, sort of as we wrap up, what's your thoughts?
Just looking at overall season, I mean we've got a chance. We're in with a chance, I would say. And we're probably better than Harrogate. So if Harrogate are above us, we can overtake them probably in certain place. The question is whether we can hold it back on anything below us who might come up. But like Harrogate, Gillingham maybe might get ahead of us. But I think probably MK likes to get automatic, I think, myself. I think they're good enough to get automatic. So if we take them out of the picture, then we've got a decent chance in the playoffs if we get the playoffs.
Good to have a positive Sunday recap. Very good. Sanj, sort of closing thoughts, and then if anyone else wants to give us your confidence levels, to just request there. But we'll sort of wrap up with Sanj if no one else wants to put their hand up. Sanj, sort of thoughts?
Right, I've been watching us 45 years, so I've seen many ups and downs. Ultimately, we're Wimbledon. We're capable of doing anything. So, you know what? Let's get behind the team. We've had a great season so far. Why not? We're more than capable if we put our minds to it. Come on, you done.
Fight and talk. Love it. Oh, this is the most positive podcast I think I've listened to, Lee. This is great. Yeah, I guess sort of we'll wrap up Super Bowl Sunday. Jonathan, as the resident American, thoughts on the big game tonight. Will you be, I was going to say, will you be staying up? I will be staying up. I'm a 49ers fan, would you believe? So the nerves are sort of kicking in. But what's your thoughts of the game?
I live in Rolla, Missouri, which is sort of near Kansas City. So I live around a lot of Chiefs fans. And so I think just so that tomorrow is not unpleasant, I hope the Chiefs win. I'm not much of an NFL fan anymore. I kind of gave up because the Chicago Bears were my team and they were so bad for so long. And I found real football, and that's kind of taking up more of my time. But you know, hey, my life will be better if the Chiefs win. So I guess I'll pull for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think I'm obviously supporting the 49ers, but I think the Chiefs got it this evening. I hope I'm wrong. But we shall see. I'll be staying up, so I'll be tired tomorrow. But to those who are staying up, enjoy the game and make sure you get up in the morning for work. I think that we can sort of wrap up there, guys. Thank you, Lee, for the opportunity. The host has been good fun. Hopefully we can do it again sometime, and I hope you're feeling better, Lee. It's weird not having you on these. I know I don't listen to every single one, but it's always good fun on a Sunday. And certainly I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about sort of nearing the end of the season. But thank you to Jonathan, Sanch, Adam especially for speaking. Thanks to everyone for listening. We will cross paths again, I'm sure, sort of near the end of the season. I hope it's in a situation where Lee is not ill. That would be preferable. But thanks everyone for tuning in. Come on, you Dons, I guess. Cheers, everyone.